Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. I was with my ex-boyfriend Ethan for almost 10 years. When we met, he was very kind and had a steady job. We soon started a family together when I got pregnant with our first child. Things continued to be good between us until shortly after we had our second kid. A few months later, Ethan developed a drug habit. He blamed it on the stress of trying to keep up with work and the kids. He said he needed it to get through the day. I believed him at first, and he promised to never let them find out about it. Then I became pregnant with our third child. The news didn't go over well with my boyfriend. I could tell he was trying to be happy, but the fact of the matter was that he was already overwhelmed with two. He tried to convince me to get rid of it, but I didn't want to do that to my baby. From then on, Ethan became increasingly distant and consumed by his addiction. I reached out to him several times, but it was almost impossible to get to him. The handful of times I was able to, he would be better for a few days or maybe a week and then would slip right back into it. Eventually, it got so bad that he was fired from his job. That sent him into a spiral he never recovered from. He was incapable of holding down a job after that. Even the Pizza Hut, literally one block from our house, had to fire him because he was always late. And any money he earned, he spent on narcotics. All he cared about was going to the gym, injecting steroids, and getting hopped up on stimulants. It felt like I was raising the kids by myself, like I was a single mother. My parents sent us money to get by, but I had to hide it from Ethan because I knew he would steal it if he found out. One day, I was finally fed up with his addiction interfering with our lives. I confronted him, knowing it would probably end with a big argument. But I didn't expect just how angry he got. Ethan totally flipped his lid.
Ethan, I really need you to get some help. Your addiction is ruining our lives.
Get off my case! All you do is nag and complain! Just let me live my life without calling me crazy!
I'm not calling you crazy. I'm saying you need to fix yourself. You're a father, for God's sake. What if I had another baby?
Are you pregnant again, you stupid... Come here!
Ethan, stop! Stop, please! Please! Ethan!
I fell on the ground as Ethan beat me. Then he started kicking me in the stomach repeatedly. When he finally let up, I tried to get my phone to call for help, but he snatched it out of my hand. He had gone into the kitchen and came back with a knife to threaten me and the kids. I got up and ran for the door, but Ethan grabbed me and waved the knife in my face. He said nobody was going to leave the house or call anyone. He kept my phone and locked all the windows and doors. He made us all sit in the living room and told us that he would kill anyone who tried to leave. The kids were crying. And I was petrified. After the edge of that knife came so close to my eyes, I couldn't have run away even if I wanted to. This all happened late in the morning. Ethan held us hostage the entire day, constantly reminding us that we were effectively his prisoners. He shouted at and threatened anyone who made a sound he didn't like, or moved in a way that he felt was an attempt to escape. We weren't allowed to leave the living room, and we had to have direct permission to use the bathroom. The entire time, Ethan kept himself hopped up, and he did it right in front of the kids. At least they didn't have to wonder why he was acting like this. But I was still in shock of how viciously he had beaten me. He had never done that before. I tried to come up with a plan. By the late afternoon, I had one. Ethan wasn't hungry at all because of what he was on, but the kids and I hadn't eaten since breakfast. We were starving and begging for food. I settled on pizza, specifically pizza from the Pizza Hut just a block away. I suggested the idea to Ethan, and at first, he completely denied it, The kids helped wear him down until it looked like he might be annoyed enough to let it happen. I offered to walk down to pick it up and bring it back, but Ethan knew I would just run to the first cop I saw. Then I said we could have it delivered, but Ethan struck that down too. I persisted, constantly pestering him to let us have pizza. This resulted in several violent outbursts, but I knew it was the only thing we could do. Finally in the evening, Ethan gave in. I asked one more time and he threw the phone at me, telling me to order it myself. Ethan watched me closely to see if I would try to dial 911. I tried to remain calm, but my hands were shaking. I opened the Pizza Hut app and started filling out an online order for delivery. I put all the toppings that we usually get, and then it was time to check out. For a few crucial seconds, Ethan was looking away at the kids. In the delivery notes, I wrote a message. Get help to me. 911. Hostage. Help. I wrote it as fast as I could and prayed that the staff didn't think it was a prank. The app already had our card and address, so I quickly placed the order before Ethan got suspicious. Then I handed the phone back to him after making sure to close the app. He didn't suspect a thing. A few minutes later, there was a knock at the door. Ethan got up to answer it. When he opened the door, there were two police officers standing right in front of him, and a whole squadron on the street behind them. Ethan quickly slammed the door and locked it before the cops could get in. While he was distracted, I picked up my baby and yelled at the kids to run. We escaped out the back door and ran to the police. Ethan entered a standoff with the cops, knowing he would go to jail if he came outside. Thankfully, after some tense negotiations, gave himself up and nobody else was hurt. Today, Ethan and I are separated as he's serving a sentence in prison. I don't expect to let him back into my life at any point. I am endlessly grateful for the Pizza Hut staff who took me seriously and saved the lives of myself and my children. In May of 2015, a woman and her children living in Avon Park, Florida, were held hostage by the woman's boyfriend and father of the children. All stemming from an argument about Ethan's use of illegal drugs, Ethan physically abused the mother and subsequently kept the entire family trapped in the house at knife point. The situation lasted throughout the day. The woman's phone had been taken, and she only managed to get it back to order a pizza. Thinking quickly, the woman typed out a frantic call for help in the delivery instructions. The Pizza Hut staff took notice and immediately called the police. When police arrived, the family fled while Ethan remained in the house, aware of his impending fate. Eventually, Ethan gave himself up. While the story ended well, it could have gone very differently. All it would have taken was a tired or jaded Pizza Hut employee to believe the message was a prank, or to have simply not noticed it at all. I worked at Pizza Hut for about a year in two different locations. The latter was cool at first, but got worse when the GM transferred. Not enough staff, the usual type of deal. I was one of the main closing cooks, even though I was part-time, and usually one of two or three people cleaning the entire store at closing. For a business that constantly reminds me how cheap it is, it paid me well enough to stay in the job even after these issues. The work is typically repetitive and simple, and my days there usually meld together as it's more or less the same routine every day. Deal with customers, make the pizzas and the wings, and call the Pepsi company and complain our order is late for the third time. There's the odd time when things get tense, of course. We get angry and complaining customers every few days, but every workplace that deals with customer service gets those. Thankfully, it never usually takes more than a free pizza or a credit on their next order to make them happy again. So when our new GM came to the job, I was excited that there'd be new hires. I wanted some of the responsibilities taken off my back. Within 3 days, a new guy joined us. His name was Kevin. He was hardworking, but an introvert. He didn't really make small talk with anyone. Just did his job, which usually comprised of cleaning, taking out the trash, and serving the in-house customers. I was really happy that I could concentrate on just the kitchen work. Our GM Stengel was a jolly man who loved sharing a little too much with his coworkers. This one sunny morning, we were preparing the place for the upcoming customers when two men dressed in suits came looking for Stengel. I showed them to his office. We all thought Stengel must have done something bad, which is why these men came for him. But once they left, Stengel came out with a big smile.
Hey guys, my late uncle finally did something good for me.
Lighting up with joy, Stengel announced that he had got $7,000 in a check from his maternal uncle as an inheritance. We all congratulated him and he promised to throw us a party. All day, everyone talked about Stengel's luck. While everyone was being happy for Stengel, Kevin began to behave oddly. I noticed him cleaning the floor pretty rigorously, so I decided to talk to him. Kevin gripped the broom so tightly that the tip of his fingers turned blue in pain. I walked over to him and found him breathing heavily as well. Everything all right, Kev? He lifted his face and looked me in the eyes. I got scared. His eyes were wide and his pupils were dilated. The veins on his forehead were popping out like he was furious about something. He maintained this pause for a long number of seconds, then let out a gasping breath. I'm fine. The rest of the day, we all got busy with work, and Kevin hadn't talked to anyone once. But knowing him and his nature, I overlooked the matter. I still wish I hadn't. Around 9 to 9:30, Stengel left to see his parents who lived on the outskirts of town. He probably wanted to give them the good news. We all mocked him, joking about how his ex-wife will call him soon wanting him back. Stengel was a chill guy, so he never took the teasing seriously. Rather, he very much enjoyed this harmless banter with his coworkers. The entire time Stengel talked about his life, I noticed Kevin's reaction. He was folding pizza boxes standing next to the counter. And the more Stengel talked, the more he got rough managing the boxes. I don't know why, but Kevin's behavior just set an alarm inside my head. I took Stengel aside and asked him, "Hey man, I'm happy for you. Drive carefully, okay?"
"Thanks, David. Be ready for an awesome party tomorrow."
He said one last goodbye to everyone and drove off. The employees left one by one and I closed the shop. I was on my way home riding my scooter when I got a text notification. It was a text from Stengel. It read,
"Hey, had a brain fart. What's the door code again? Left my wallet."
I pulled over to text him the door code, but before hitting the send button, Stengel texted again. This time he said,
"Never mind, Kevin let me in."
Kevin? But I closed the shop after everyone left. Why the hell would Kevin be there? I quickly dialed Stengel and he picked up.
"Stengel, what's Kevin doing there?" "What do you mean? Didn't you tell him to take the trash out?"
"No, I took the trash out myself."
"But he said..."
I then heard a muffled groaning followed by the sound of the call getting disconnected. I was 20 minutes away from the restaurant and I knew I had to turn around. The thought of something bad happening was all I could think about. When I reached the restaurant, I left my scooter in the middle of the road. All I could think about was seeing Stengel's face. The door was unlocked already. The restaurant was in darkness. The only light came out from the kitchen. I called out Kevin's name, but no one answered. I called out to Stengel as well, but he didn't respond either. The silence of the Pizza Hut made me feel like I was standing in a graveyard. Just then, I noticed the cupboard in the corner. One of its doors was hung open. I turned on my flashlight and looked inside the cupboard. There was a bucket, a duster, and a cleaning mop. And the bottom of the mop had bloodstains on it. My heart sank in horror. I slowly turned my head to look at the kitchen. I could see something inside the kitchen sink. My brain kept telling me that more bad news was coming my way. Inside the sink was blood. I knew someone had been hurt, and in one of the most horrible ways. Without wasting any more time, I dialed 911. When all of a sudden, my eyes caught a trail of blood leading to the back of the Pizza Hut from the floor under the kitchen sink. I followed the lid and found it ending right next to the trash bin outside. With trembling hands, I opened the lid. This story was inspired by the following events. On February 7th, a Milwaukee Pizza Hut employee named Kevon L. Ingram was arrested for the gruesome murder of his coworker Alex Stengel. Ingram shot Stengel in the head, then left his body in a trash can behind the restaurant,
which was later found by the authorities. Police believe Ingram killed 55-year-old Stengel over a $7,000 inheritance check. I got my first job over the summer at the Pizza Hut near my school. I was excited to make some money that I could spend having fun during my upcoming junior year. For the most part, the job was pretty enjoyable. All I had to do was run the register and clean. I got to see a lot of people from school that I normally wouldn't have seen until school was back in. Pretty soon, a lot of kids took notice and started calling the store Hottie Pete's Hut and other stuff like that. There was just one problem. The manager, Calvin. He was a complete creep. He was this loser in his 30s. His greatest accomplishment in life was his giant messy beard that almost went down to the floor. He had to wear a custom hairnet to keep it contained while he was making the pizzas, but it was common for one or two to slip through. This led to a lot of people coming back to the store for refunds, complaining that they didn't order the Viking special or something like that. Then they'd show us a 4-foot-long strand of wiry hair that was unmistakably Calvin's. That was the least of his problems, though. It quickly became obvious that I only landed the job because Calvin wanted a cute girl in his shop. He was very talkative to me and my friends. Most of the time, it was normal. But sometimes, it really made our skin crawl. My friends kept telling me to get a job somewhere else. But I never did. I didn't want to go through the trouble of finding a job all over again. So, I dealt with his weirdness for a couple of months. But when summer break was over, things only got worse. The traffic coming into the shop increased dramatically, and all of those new customers were returning students, many of which were girls. Business kept backing up because Calvin was more preoccupied with talking to the girls than he was with actually making pizzas. We started staffing more people during peak hours, but this hardly helped as it only gave Calvin more free time. Then, one day, some of my best friends came in to say hi. They didn't order anything as they don't really like pizza, but they wanted to talk about our plans later that day. Calvin kept butting into our conversation, and then after they left, he said this.
Those are your friends, right? I like them. Do you think you could put in a good word for me?
What do you mean by that?
You know, maybe set me up with one of them. Because it'd be wrong to date one of my employees.
Calvin, we're all 16. You didn't know that?
I knew. It's just,
So, you mean it's not a problem for you?
Hey, I was joking. Just joking. Look, somebody's coming in. Just take their order. I'm gonna go make some dough.
After that interaction, things only got weirder. I tried to keep brushing things off, but it wasn't easy. About a week after he hit on my friends, he asked for my Snapchat. At first, I declined as he already had my number for work, but he kept pushing until I eventually gave it to him. I knew it wasn't a good idea, but I wanted to keep my job. Unfortunately, it soon proved to be a stupid decision. Calvin started snapping me a lot outside of work, almost every hour or two. The frequency of his messages and pictures alone freaked me out. But what he was saying in some of them was even worse. He told me that he had really come to like me and depend on me as an employee. I sincerely hoped he was only talking about work, but it kept evolving from there. At around 10 p.m. one night, he admitted that he was attracted to me, in love with me, even. I told him to stop saying all that crazy weird crap and to get a grip. I was 16 and he was 31, not to mention the fact that he was my boss, but he just wouldn't stop. He asked me if I felt the same way about him. That's when I lost my temper and went off on him, sending him a long video berating him for overstepping and being extremely inappropriate. I told him that there was never going to be any circumstance in which we would be together. Thankfully, it seemed Calvin came to his senses and apologized. He admitted that he was really drunk and shouldn't have said any of that, and he promised it wouldn't happen again. I reluctantly accepted his apology and left it at that. He didn't text me for a couple hours. I thought it was over.
Then, at midnight, he sent me another photo. I dreaded opening it, but I knew I had to see what it was. To my horror, the haunting image that flashed before my eyes for a split second before I threw my phone across the room was a close-up picture of his junk. I screamed in disgust. It was just as hairy as his face, but even filthier and clearly unwashed. The caption said, "Does this change your mind?" I cried and shivered with disgust for a while before I was able to collect myself. Then I picked up my phone and blocked Calvin. A moment later, I realized I had to go to work with him the next day. My blood ran cold. I considered calling out, reporting him to corporate, or even calling the police on him. Unfortunately, I was feeling panicky and indecisive. In the end, I decided to go and see how things played out in person. The following afternoon, I came into work and said hello to Calvin. He said hi back, and that was the end of our conversation. I couldn't tell what he remembered. At best, he was blacked out the whole time. But it seemed like he remembered enough to be ashamed, though not enough to feel the need to apologize again. The day went on uneventfully, yet it was extremely awkward. Calvin was unusually quiet. Near the end of my shift, things were slowing down, so Calvin told me to go wash the women's restroom. It was just me and him in the shop, as the third employee had been cut an hour ago and the next was set to arrive soon. I grabbed the mop and rolled it into the bathroom, then started cleaning. A few minutes later, I heard the door open behind me, expecting to see a customer that I'd have to tell to come back later. I instead saw Calvin locking the door, sealing me in with him.
What the hell are you doing in here?
You still don't think we could ever be together?
No! Get out!
It's funny that you think you have a choice.
In Kissimmee, Florida, during August of 2023, a 31-year-old manager of a Pizza Hut, Calvin Cook, sexually assaulted one of his employees. Official reports indicate that the victim was only 16 years old. It was also revealed during the investigation that the two had previously been in contact through social media, during which time Cook sent nude photos of himself to the victim over Snapchat. It was alleged that he was a persistent influence on the victim both at work and away through the use of social media. Unfortunately, the victim was too scared to speak out about what was happening out of fear of retaliation, not wanting to lose her job. Then, in late August, Cook ordered the victim to clean the women's restroom, where he subsequently followed her in and locked the door before committing several acts upon the victim. An arriving employee realized what was going on, but unable to open the door, she called the police. Cook was arrested soon after, but by then, the damage had already been done. Cook was faced with several felony charges. But at this time, the state of his conviction and sentencing are unknown.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Warning. The following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated. Forlorn even. Like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.